Hello, everyone. Welcome to Meta Nordens Mini Talk on Old Noah Zero. I'm Jero, joined by Foshizzle.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
And we're going to be talking about Episode 5, Phantom of the Emperor. In this episode, let's talk about some people here. Let's start by talking about Slane, and we see him in the opening scene, and what previews might have led to make us believe that that was a kiss that was being given to Slane by the princess. It was merely just some really sort of erotic CPR action.
Right, yeah, the way it was shot looked more... yeah, erotic than it's supposed to be, but yeah, it's very weird.
Mm-hmm.
And people will wonder, like, why is he, you know, choking on water? So for me, it's like, I think maybe something happened in that cryo sleep, you know. That's all I'm going to guess, because it's 5 years in the past, and he still looks the same as he does now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's a little weird.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting to think about. And meanwhile, the report that he's given to Cruteo, about Trill Ram and what happened to him. Now it seems like there's a situation where it could eventually get Cruteo in trouble with Sawsbomb and anybody else that knows about this, because Cruteo is just reporting everything that he knows and that Slane has told him, but doesn't know that Slane's lying. So Sawsbomb is looking into things. Cruteo is looking into things. This has a potential to get really messy here.
Right, it does. He didn't really cover his tracks very easily because he said the other guy died in the meteor or the final bombardment.
Mm-hmm.
And they found the robot under the bridge in the water. It's like, clearly not in the same area. So someone's lying.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like you just said, Slane fed them all the information. So obviously they know who's lying. They can trace it back to the original source. Like, you told me this, but not what we saw, you know, in mm-hmm. the water.
And Rey Regalia, the king that we had heard about from the last episode, we get to see him in a couple pivotal scenes. The first being early in the episode when the details of what happened are being told to him, and he calls for an armistice, and it actually seems reasonable. Hey, maybe this king is actually kind of a decent guy. But by the end, when Slane tells him the truth, he decides, you know, we need to renew war. I almost was kind of confused when I watched the episode the first time about that, because it seemed like a radical switch in opinion, and especially considering that the princess had said, you know, if he knows I'm alive, then the war will stop. But apparently she's very wrong on that case.
Right, it almost makes me feel that the king or emperor is not really himself, because mm-hmm. he's laying in the bed, his eyes look very, very dead.
Yeah.
So I'm like, he's probably under drugs or under some kind of suggestion or some kind of power that's, you know, keeping him there. Because mm-hmm. when you see him teleport to his throne room again, it's like, is someone imitating the king? Because if they use hologram technology, it's easy mm-hmm. to fake someone. I mean, it would be easy, I would assume, to pose as someone else, as the princess has done before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that thought too, the possibility of holography or something being used to deceive others.
Right, and for all we know, the Emperor could be dead a long time ago, yeah. And they're just faking it the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a possibility.
And meanwhile, during the armistice, Vlad doesn't care what message was sent. He's going to go back and get his revenge on that orange impudent Kurd, I believe he called it, or something like that, as he fought Inaho. And before we talk about what Inaho did in the fight, you know, this episode kind of makes me a bit frustrated, because we had talked about their first encounter with Vlad, where they didn't really do much of anything, these other guys versus Vlad, but there was a moment in this episode where he picks up this sort of the turret on the ship, and he picks it up and he throws it at him. And what did they do? They just sit there and look in awe. And you actually see in the animation they're kind of moving their arms around. They're like, wow, he threw that thing right at us. Instead of coming up, it's almost like they just went, they didn't even have any kind of plan. Like, that's the thing that Inaho has benefited from, is, you know, these idiots dying. And then he comes out and does some clever moves, but you know, it seems a little nuts to me to make the... I mean, we see it all the time in anime. The military is dumb and stupid and they're useless. But, I mean, you gotta make him seem a little bit smart.
Right, yeah, it is a little weird. I mean, like you said, he just kicks a turret or throws that and they're just like, wow, that's cool. And they get two-shot. Like, you know, they lose more fodder characters in the series than I've seen in most of the Gundam series I've watched so far. It's like, if you're a background character or no one with no lines, you're dead.
Pretty much.
Even if you have a line, you're still dead.
And then Inaho comes out, and he just comes out solo this time, and he has some tricks up his sleeve that he uses when he blocks the beam saber attacks that Vlad throws at him, uses to explode, and then that's when he eventually is able to drag him off of the ship into the water, and those beam sabers are some trouble, and it causes a huge, like, steam explosion. So I think the assumption there is that Vlad died at that moment in the battle.
Right, yeah. I think the minute he hit the water and blew up, it's like we saw the pieces floating in the water. There's nothing left. And with Inaho, it's like pretty much planned it all out a little bit like a Lelouch from Code Geass, where everything's been set up in this perfect spot where he knows what's going to happen. Even going so far as to tilt the ship a little bit to knock him off his footing. I was like, eh, it works, but it seemed a little crazy how he just, again, like you said, we usually say it every week, motionless, kind of just like, tilt the ship, all, you know, using explosive round. And I just thought it was funny with Vlad. He's just swinging around. He's like, it's one weakness, his arm being held down. Like, okay. You know, it's like, well, one way to beat that guy is just hold his arms down. And he basically went.
Yeah, he's pretty worthless besides that. I'm trying to think here. Oh, one of my favorite lines was when Vlad said, let me go. You know, I'd be glad to. Like, wow.
Yeah, the writing and the, I think, voice acting on, you know, could be improved. But everyone I've talked to, or they defend him left and right, that it's just part of his character and all and all that. I'm like, it is, but at a certain point, you got to know, you know, enough's enough. You know, we're 5 episodes in. I'm not expecting a huge development right away, but give us something.
Yeah. And then there's a couple extra things. One, Inaho asking about his pajamas with patches. I admit I don't understand what that means.
Right, I guess he's just saying, like, after this battle, I'm going to take a nap with my pajamas. I don't know. That's weird.
I bet that's it.
It could be. It's weird. Like I said with him, he's just... he says lines are just kind of, like, absurd. That you wouldn't expect someone to be saying in a heated battle, going into battle. It'd be like, you know, someone going off to war, you know, give me a hamburger when I get back. It's like, what? Yeah. What? I don't understand. What's the connection?
Yeah, it does match with his personality, at least. I wonder if there's any significance to the fact that it was Rayet that went in the boat to go get him first afterwards.
I'm kind of looking at, like, maybe she saw the potential in him. Like, you know, if I get into danger, I'm going to need allies on my side. So maybe if I, you know, warm up to him, I could, you know, get a chance to use him later. I mean, it kind of reminds me of a Gundam Seed again with Flay. How she kind of warms up to Kira midway through. She hated him at the beginning. And then, you know, she warms up to him and kind of uses him. Yeah. So I think Ray, I could see her doing that. Like, he's a good fighter, so I need someone in my side for him.
Or if it's just another point of reinforcement that her and Asylum, they can only trust Inaho.
Like, right,
as much as Asylum wanted to go out there and just, I'm going to reveal myself in the middle of this or miss this, I think Inaho is the one that can be trusted without blowing anybody's tops off or going crazy over the fact that, oh my god, the Verse Princess is there.
Yeah, out of all the characters, I think, he would be the least likely person to say, oh, by the way, she's the princess. Like, he wouldn't do that. So. My little take on this episode, I kind of like the whole bit with Slane. I kind of like him more as the main character versus Inaho. I mean, Inaho does put the work in, he does save everybody, it's fine, but Slane's got a more interesting story going on.
Yeah, and Slane,
he's taking on like a whole freaking space army by himself almost.
Yeah, and he's doing it in a sort of interesting way, sort of like I don't think he's planned out all this stuff that's I think is going to happen with Curteo and Sawsbomb and the Emperor. That stuff is just kind of like, you know, one domino fell, and then here come all these others eventually as lies start you know, coming up between everybody.
Right, he's like basically set the fuse. Like, you know, when it's bad when the enemy is like, you know, they're probably easily one, two steps ahead of Slane at this point. Because, like, that guy here, he knows Slane's messing around with things he shouldn't be doing. It's like, he didn't really cover his tracks very well.
Yeah. And also, for Inaho, everybody talks about, oh, this guy's emotionally void. Slane has to pick that up. And, well, he's not exactly... Well, I mean, he definitely showed it when he killed Trill Ram, but for the most part, he's been pretty good. And it's interesting to kind of see him sneak around. And we saw some other Mars technology, by the way, with him sort of transporting in that room. We saw that room where he went in and transported to another area. The details of that, I don't quite know, other than just he transported from one place to another.
Right, and he... Yeah, it's kind of interesting. So they do have technology to go back to their plant. I guess I'm assuming they can't take like machines or things from back and forth because it's obviously need something bigger.
Yeah, just people. Is there any other notes you want to bring up, or just any overall thoughts about this episode?
Overall thoughts was decent. I was kind of disappointed the ending changed back to the original ending. I was like, I like the other one, but they did have the song in the episode, so I was happy. Yeah. Fight-wise, it seemed kind of, I don't know, like, very, you know, one-sided. Inaho was like, oh, I don't know, I'm the master plan and all this. And, you know, even with two swords, that other guy was not enough to defeat, you know, Inaho, which, it's fine. I mean, Inaho's not winning because his machine's overpowered. He's winning because he's using his, you know, he's thinking things through. And but we'll see how, if it really is all that or not.
Yeah. I feel pretty much the same as you about that fight. It was very predictable in that sense that Inaho would finish off Vlad, and now we're probably going to be moving on to another mecha. We'll find out what that is eventually, maybe next week or so. But a very interesting episode with Slane running around and Rey Regalia showing up and putting his mark on the show. As we talked about earlier, you know, whether there's... what's the real Rey Regalia, if that's
right,
even a thing.
Like, is he alive? Is he a fake? Is he a puppet? Is someone controlling him? You know, is that world they even go to real? It could have been all like a virtual reality setup. So, like, okay, if someone who's not an alien uses it, they get sent here. I don't know, something like that. Yeah. It'll be a little shot in the dark, but yeah, we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens on episode 6. So, for Fosh, I'm J-Ro. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Hachimari ni mo, owari ni mo, kawaru hikari, shita ni nuketa ma.